read the Old Testament for this Sunday section of Jonah, a story I love. I thought immediately, Jonah had it easy. Walk through town proclaiming, "Repent, or Nineveh will be destroyed." And everyone does. From the king down, they bring out the sackcloth, they proclaim a fast. That's pretty good work. 3 days of work and an entire town repents. Calls for repentance do not usually work that way. The church year spends 40 days on sin and repentance. We call it Lent, I think, so that it can kind of sneak up on people who aren't used to a liturgical calendar. And never once have I seen someone come to church in sackcloth. And although we might invite people to fast, I'm not entirely sure that anyone does. Of course, I've never come to church in sackcloth either. Before we get too caught up in how easy Jonah had it, though, we have to remember that this comes after that bonding incident with the giant fish a chapter or so earlier, and shortly before he bewails his success on the cliff overlooking town. Jonah is successful because of his lack of effort, but his lack of effort comes from a small problem. He doesn't really want to succeed. Jonah isn't the eager prophet. Jonah is the extremely reluctant prophet. God was sort of looking over the world and stumbled upon Nineveh, the sinful city. We never exactly know why. We get lists of other people's sins, and we just know that Nineveh was in trouble. And then God looks at Jonah and says, "Hey, I've got a job for you. You need to go to Nineveh." And Jonah says, "No." Very emphatically. So emphatically that he decides to go the other way. And then gets thrown off a boat and winds up inside a big fish. Jonah wants to fail. Jonah thinks the Ninevites deserve everything that should be coming to them. And then some. It's not an entirely wrong position, I have to say. There is something to be said for that. Even if it reminds me a little bit of when my siblings and I used to squabble when we were little, and you sort of hope that the other person gets into more trouble than you. Sort of what it sounds like, doesn't it? But he, Mom, that's sort of what it sounds like. Jonah feels passionately, and he still winds up in Nineveh. And it works, because God, our God of second chances, in the plural, is committed to the Ninevites, the non-Israelite, so outside of the covenant, sinners. So committed, he went to Jonah, and when Jonah ran away, ran in the wrong direction, hid on a boat, jumped into the ocean to get away, God still went after Jonah and said, "I have a job for you." So committed that when Jonah finally did show up for the job and put in what has to be the bare minimum work, it still was effective. Nineveh repents. The city is saved. When I first met my step-grandfather, he was trying to reconcile, you know, this new person in his life with his concept of priest, my Catholic grandfather. He quipped, So, you're in charge of saving souls. And having been fairly acquainted with his daughter, my stepmother, I responded fairly quickly, "No, that's God's job. I just try to stay out of the way. I'm more like Jonah than I sometimes like to admit. There's more truth in humor than we sometimes like to admit. We're all more like Jonah than we sometimes like to admit. We're called to bigger things than we sometimes want to get out of bed for. As Christians, as individuals with our specific and unique gifts, as a world with problems that are far greater than we can often deal with. It's far easier to consider that bonding experience from inside the fish, the inside-out bonding experience, than it is to go to Nineveh, wherever our personal Ninevehs are. The places where we think, that one, well, either that one should be someone else's job, or maybe that one just doesn't need to get done. We're more like Jonah than we like to admit. And I have to tell you that sometimes I'm more right in my comment, my quip to my step-grandfather, than I'd really like to be. Saving souls isn't our job. It's God's work, which is good because that's a big task. But our job, our responsibility, is listening to God, responding when God says, there's somewhere I need you to go. There's something I need you to do. I need you to be responsible for the promises you have made and the gifts I have given you. Even, and maybe especially, when it means going to Nineveh, taking on the task that you don't like and that seems impossible, when what you really want to do is go back to bed or run the other way. When you want to have a Jonah day. Jonah days happen. The trick is not to let it be every day. The trick is to have more days when you're like the disciples this morning. Today they get it right. It happens, even for the disciples, perhaps especially for the disciples. There's a reason Jesus kept them around, after all, not just so that we could make fun of them centuries later, although that is kind of fun. Jesus, who by now has done, well, almost nothing. He's gotten baptized and then disappeared for a while. If you read the Gospel of Mark, that's exactly what has happened. He got baptized and then he disappeared out into the desert. And now he's come back and he's walking along. He runs into Simon and Andrew and James and John and he says something pretty cryptic about fishing for people. I don't know if I would follow this guy right now. We have no miracles. We're not really sure if anyone else saw that dove at the baptism. And then there was that prolonged absence. This is not, I have to say, a responsible leader yet. He's not very good at the showing up. There have been no signs of his messianic potential. And they walk away from everything. They had a good day. Despite all of the signs, despite the livelihood they had, they heard God's call and they answered. We tend to come out somewhere in between. It's okay. God loves us. Remember how long God chased Jonah? If Jonah had found a way to keep running, God would have kept chasing him. You can have days like Jonah. But try not to make it every day. Remember that there are other days when it is easy, or at least easier, to respond to the impossible voice of God. Remember that there are days when the promises of God, which are impossible and difficult, sound easy and simple. Because for God, they are. For God, entire cities, from the king down, repent. Declare fasts and pull out the sackcloth and rejoice for the stranger who showed up in their midst. For God, we will proclaim by word and action the good news of God and Jesus Christ. Amen.